Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm DM Neil, aka Jope Maniac, and with me today is...
I'm DM James Intercasso, aka James Intercasso.
Done. So, known to his friends as James Intercasso, both first and last name.
Yes.
Even with friends.
Usually Mr. James Intercasso, Neil. Ooh. If we're really gonna, you know, get that's how my friends know me. So,
yeah. Awesome. Well, we are going to tie back to what I like to consider one of the greatest episodes from the Dungeon Master block, and probably my favorite to record because it was with the Archmage himself, Ed Greenwood. Yeah.
Great episode.
That experience was mind-numbing. I know you've interviewed him as well, so...
Yes, twice. And I have to say, one of the greatest things about Ed Greenwood, aside from getting a masterclass in whatever you want to talk to him about, because he knows so many things about so many things, is that you ask him, like, one question, and you've got a whole podcast, which is great.
I mean, obviously, there's a gigantic amount of respect for him and what he's done for the industry. But it's like, I want to be quiet because if I'm quiet, he'll keep talking.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. Like I said, everything that comes out of that man's mouth is a masterclass. It's incredible.
And so for this one, we are going to tie it back to DMnastics number 57, The Aspects of Greenwood, which for this one... Phil came up with Oh, you guys don't know who Phil is. You only know DM Main Prize. And he came up with the idea of just creating a bunch of items that people could jump in on and develop those however they see fit. And there are a lot of options. So James and I have chosen a couple that stood out to us. And as soon as we're done talking about those, we will go ahead and make some together.
Woo! Yeah, I'm stretching out, getting ready for that big lift. You know? Yeah.
We will kick it off with James, your first pick.
Okay, so my first pick is... You ready for this?
Yes.
The Bag of Greenwood. So what is the Bag of Greenwood? Well, I'm glad you asked, Neil. So somewhere along the line, right, there was a very bored wizard who traveled quite a bit. And back in the day, or in fantasy times, which is not really back in the day, but in another time and place, you know, traveling's boring. There's no iPods. There's nothing to do, really. So this wizard began to write his own stories and works of fiction, and he was unsatisfied. So he had a bag of devouring, a doppelganger gland, and a bottle of infinite ink. And he created a bag that wrote stories, and he called this bag the Bag of Greenwood because the first story it wrote was the Greenwood World.
Amazing.
Right. It's awesome. So it's an intelligent bag whose sole purpose is to write stories. If it's turned inside out, the bag morphs into a leather-bound book with a story just created by this item's intelligence. Anything that you put into the bag is consumed and used as inspiration for a brand new story when the bag is turned inside out back into a book. If a bookmark is placed in the book before closing it, though, it will remember the story that it just wrote and open to the marked page instead of creating a new story. The book will always be 400 pages long, but all of the pages might not be filled, and the story will always have a conclusion. No cliffhanger for a sequel.
Amazing.
So the intelligence is molded directly from the creator's mind, so it holds up quite a bit of knowledge in there, which it uses for storytelling. We can presume this wizard is probably modeled after Mr. Ed Greenwood, and the book will always have a grain of truth in every story that it writes. However, a flat roll of 1d20 will decide just how much truth is in the book. This comes from Laser Sniper. This is great. I love the Bag of Greenwood.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting knowledge item you could add into your game too. It's dependent on a d20 roll. So if they roll a nat 20, mm-hmm. It could just almost be a historical piece.
Right. And I love the idea of you find an object and maybe it's mysterious and you don't know what it is, but it could give you a clue about where you're supposed to go next. So you dump it in this bag, see what story is produced, and then you're like, is this true? Is it not? How much truth is there about this object in there? So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It can be used as a sort of detective device if you wanted to.
All right. So my pick is the pen of Greenwood.
Nice.
Early references were to the quill of Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
as it was described as a feather from an enormous bird. Now it is clearly a dip pin made of wood and metal. It is unclear whether this is a second artifact with identical properties or merely the same artifact that has gone under some sort of physical change.
I love that.
It might be in our world still. And probably just owned by Ed Greenwood. And it's just his pin. It's kind of mundane. I mean, not that mundane, but a little bit more so than this. But this pin of Greenwood is under a powerful enchantment, such that it cannot write anything that is untrue.
Mm.
This was intended as a means of securing true testimony, but it had an unexpected side effect. With legendary acts of will, a wielder of the pen of Greenwood can force the pen to write something that contradicts reality as it was, forcing the world to change around it.
Nice. That is awesome.
That is no joke.
Yeah, I could see a whole campaign built around this item because the possibilities, right, are so powerful. But you need to have like super duper will to be able to use, which is also cool.
Yeah, where essentially you have to roll a nat 20 at disadvantage that can't be canceled out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can manage to do that, you will be able to essentially shape reality.
It's awesome. Awesome.
And that is from Rhett Sam, who has a much longer name, but I can never say it right, so we will simply call you Rhett Sam. And thank you for that, because that is an awesome item.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Rhett Sam. Amazing.
But as we are wont to do, it is time to do some lifting right now.
Let's lift. I'm getting swole.
Watch out. We'll sacrifice something to the god of Brocidon and see what we can do. All right, so we picked a few out of the list, and the list is extensive. There are 21 items, and there are still some left, so we will go ahead and pick those up right now, and we will kick it off with the Club of Greenwood, as well as the Staff of Greenwood. And oddly enough, James and I had pretty much the same idea what to do with these.
That's right. They are related, I would say, yes. Because, Neil, the Club of Greenwood is actually quite a happening place. So it's an awesome library where people gather to tell stories and play games. It's one that you can shrink down and carry around in your pocket and then, boom, place it on the ground. Instant club.
That's awesome. So it's like the spells and items that you have where you throw it down and it's a place.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's awesome. Liamon's tiny club, if you will.
Book club.
Right.
And what club would function properly without a wonderful staff to help facilitate a good time at the Club of Greenwood? So the Staff of Greenwood are people that are well versed in the knowledge and lore of Greenwood himself. And they can assist you in finding the truth in the stories at times, or the untruth, and anything you might need while you are in as a patron of the Club of Greenwood.
Boom. Amazing. I love that we had similar ideas for these items.
I was like, staff? Like an actual staff, like people? And then you're like, yeah, the club, a place. I'm like, oh my gosh. Perfect. All right, on a marginally more serious note, we will take the Hammer of Greenwood next.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so this is, I believe we discussed, right, the Hammer of Greenwood.
Yes.
So it's actually made out of, its handle is made of a magic green wood. And the way I see this hammer is that it is both a weapon and a tool that can be used. And I imagine the hammer, you can bang it against like a broken object and it actually will cast the spell mending on that object and fix it.
I like it. So then what I was thinking was not that it would just be the handle, but the entire item is made of green wood.
I like that. I like it a lot. Yeah.
And then the green wood is a special type that is from an area that is known or rumored to be planted by Greenwood himself.
That's awesome. I like that a lot.
And so that's the only place you can harvest it. I like that. And the mending. The other thing I thought, and you know, obviously we're going to go down some interesting paths with these items because of who they're referencing. But I thought another interesting thing would be definitely the mending. But also if you were to, I'm envisioning a larger hammer, like a two-handed one.
Almost. Yes. Like a mall,
and you could just like jam the handle into the ground and the head of the hammer will open up and be like a little table.
Nice. That's awesome. So it's sort of, you know, it becomes a very versatile tool then that you can use. Nice.
Like a writing desk.
Yes. I love that. I love that a lot.
What are a touch of mechanical properties we could add to it? So we've added the mending.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we would want a decent plus to it, but I mean, that's not very exciting. So what's another feature we could add?
Well, I feel like in honor of Elminster himself, right? Ed Greenwood, or Greenwood the Mage. I think that this item would be a thing that, if he so chooses to attack you, you must be a pretty bad dude, right? Because he's a pretty fun-loving dude. And so it drains your intelligence temporarily and increases the wielder's intelligence temporarily. So it, like, sucks some of the intelligence away from an enemy and brings it into you and makes you smarter.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I was thinking as a interesting mechanical property we could add.
Okay, done.
Nice.
So then we have the illustrious, because that's the only way it could be, obviously.
Of course.
There's no question.
Of course.
The robe of Greenwood.
Yes.
Where to begin with that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was with you 100% when you said illustrious. I think this is a big, comfortable, and in my mind, like, deep royal purple robe.
Yes.
Right? Right? Maybe with some, like, white trim, like a traditional king robe. That's how I see this, because I see Ed Greenwood as a man who loves comfort as well, you know? And that's how I see this mage, too.
So I'm trying to dig through my memory, which... That is what it is. But I remember there being an item called like a robe of, it essentially had a lot of pockets. I don't know if it was a robe of many things, but like, that's what I want to call it. And I want that to be a thing for this. Like, there's just tons and tons of pockets inside there. So the idea with that, though, is that it would be able to roll on whatever magic table we decide.
Nice. I love that. So it's a, you know, when you draw out of the pocket, like a random spell is cast, kind of?
Or item is found.
Oh, even better. I love that.
Yeah. It would need to be one of those things where it's like, it's high level, but then kind of like one of the lower tier of magic item tables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And maybe what happens is when you let go of said item, it disappears, you know?
Yeah.
So that you can keep drawing new stuff out of the pockets without breaking the world economy.
Yeah, who cares? if they're already at the point where they have the wish spell, it's already broken. So who cares?
That's fair. That is fair. Yeah, I dig that idea. And what's nice about that is, like, if to me that represents the endless well of ideas that is the Wizard Greenwood.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. The other thing I think that the robe can do for you is when you're wearing it, you can read and write twice as fast as you normally would.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, it gives like interesting functionality to multiple people, because you could have it where it's like you give it to the rogue and they attune, and then they use like their thievery skills and like are forging documents and doing this, doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Or maybe if you're a wizard and you're wearing it, you can copy spells into your spellbook twice as fast.
Ah, true.
Or maybe read two scrolls in one turn. Yeah, yeah. We're breaking the game with this thing, so let's go all in.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares? I'm not using it in my game.
Yeah, yeah. The Robe of Greenwood. I think I want one. I definitely want one.
Done. Last feature. It allows you to transport yourself to the forest of Greenwood.
Ooh, nice, nice. Where maybe, right, that's one of the only ways to get in. So whenever you go, the other people are also hanging out wearing robes of Greenwood.
Well, of course. I mean, you can't be there and not look that good.
That's right. Yeah, there's a dress code in the forest of Greenwood. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, we're not insane. All right. So thanks.
Perfect. So the last one that we're going to bring up is actually not on the list.
Yes, that's right. It's not on the list. But I dare say, Neil, that this is inspired not just by Ed Greenwood himself, but by yourself and by the amazing DM main prize.
True, for it is none other than the Beard of Greenwood.
That's right. Yeah, the Beard of Greenwood, I mean, I think is a long, flowing, majestic beard. White, probably, in color?
Definitely.
Yeah. So what do you think the Beard of Greenwood does?
I'm trying to think of how you would almost have it exist in the world. Almost like a magical property bestowed upon you and your face.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's not like a beard you strap on. It's a beard that grows forth from your face.
Upon meeting Greenwood himself.
Exactly.
Then that is the only way that you could be bestowed with the power that is the Beard of Greenwood.
That's right. It's an amazing beard. And it's one of those things that, like, you know, he decides whether you're worthy of the Beard of Greenwood or not. Right.
So for my idea for this, and I can literally see it in my head as playing out the scene from Lord of the Rings with Galadriel and Gimli.
Go on.
Yeah. And of course you're asking for a single, what is it, a single hair or is it a single lock of hair?
A single hair from her golden head. Yes.
A single hair from his ivory beard. And he gave me 3. And with that, you are then bestowed the Beard of Greenwood, and then you grow your own majestic white beard.
Amazing. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. You put them on your face and then you wake up in the next morning and there it is, you know?
Yep.
I love it. I love it. And in my mind, the Beard of Greenwood, not only does it increase your charisma by 2. Right. Right. I mean, that's just a given. It can increase your charisma by 2 above the normal cap of 20 if this is 5th edition. I think it also probably gives you some extra spell slots, you know? Like, I would say maybe it gives you like a 9th level spell slot that you just get because you have the Beard of Greenwood.
I also want to say it gives a defensive property, and I'm kind of going back and forth between the idea of just getting extra armor class, but again, those are just straight numbers, so it's, you know, not very exciting. So what if it was almost as if it was as if you had a perpetual mirror image on you?
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Like the functionality of that, but not necessarily the visual of multiple copies of yourself, but like you still using that same basic mechanic. Essentially making you much more difficult to hit. Obviously, he's only going to give this to someone that is adept in the arcane arts.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That makes me sort of think of the Ice King from Adventure Time's beard. Yes. You know, because it's always moving. Like, maybe it makes you harder to hit because the beard is always moving and gives it that effect of mirror image, which is cool.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's also kind of what I had thought too, the potential of a prehensile, but then I was like, that might be too much. It might be a little too weird. You can make that choice. I'm not going to make that choice for you. You can make it for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else for the Beard of Greenwood?
I think that it's kind of perfect, and I can't wait to get one. I want a real life Beard of Greenwood.
Done. Of course you do. Everyone does, and everyone should. Man, woman, or child.
That's right. That's right. Good for the whole family.
Done. Now that people have heard these great ideas from you, where could they go and find even more great ideas? I would even venture to say any award-winning ideas.
Yeah, I mean, that might just be a fluke. That worldbuilderblog.me is an any award-winning website where you can find links to all of the podcasts and stuff that I do, but you can also find a lot of information about Exploration Age, which is the 5th edition world I'm building that is featured in the GM showcase in the very first story arc of the GM showcase.
It is.
And you can also find information about Have Spellbook Will Travel There, which is my fantasy comedy radio play podcast that I make with Rudy Basso. Super fun, scripted. It's like an actual play if an actual play were scripted and didn't have dice rolling. So that's a terrible way to describe it, but it's good. So yeah. So check those out. But of course, Neil, where can people find you?
If you wanted to find me personally for reasons I'm not sure about, you could always check me out on Twitter at JokeManiac. That's I wanted to put .com, but that's really not it. It's just at JokeManiac. If you wanted to email DMnastics, you could email us directly at DMnastics@gmail.com. All one word, all lowercase. And of course, you could follow our Twitter account at DMnastics. And we have recently moved the daily DMnastics from the great DM main prize into the main Twitter feed. And we would love to have people come over and follow and share your ideas with the rest of us. He puts up a post every day of the week, and I do a special one on the weekends called Weekend Warriors. So come check those out. But above probably everything else, I just want to go ahead and implore you, the listener, to join us on the forums and take part in these challenges and exercises, as well as the other conversations being had.
And to do that, you can head on over to dungeonmastersblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, "Do you even lift?"
Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting. I did over 1,000. Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.